Consider it a privilege to be able to have this last fruit of the Spirit, self-control. And the thought just kept going through my mind that they saved the best till last. So we've got to put all of this together and see how the fruit works. Danielle, when she was sharing up here, she did such a wonderful job. It's so neat to see all of the different personalities that God has placed into this body of believers and given us the ability to be able to expound on his word, right from the youngins that are still in their 20s up to me, the older one. Bill always calls me the old guy, but I'm not quite as old as he says that I am. I will be, in a couple of weeks, I'll be 67 years old, so I am a senior. But I've got lots of years left in me yet, so I'm thanking the Lord for that. So it is wonderful to see all of the different talents that God has given us and how he's using this body. But this morning, we want to finish up on the fruit of the Spirit. We want to examine this last fruit of self-control. What is self-control? I did this for Kim because she likes the Greek. She said, you're supposed to get that in there. So the Greek word for self-control is enkratia. I'm pronouncing it right because I listened to it several times. Enkratia, and it literally means exercising dominion from within. Exercising dominion from within. To get a hold of or to get a grip on. Now, every single one of us, from the youngest one in here to the oldest one in here, has been in a situation where you did not exercise dominion from within, but you allowed something else to take control, and you didn't have self-control. Has anybody ever lost it? No, I got most of your hands up, but I know that it has happened to all of us. John Maxwell said, I consider self-control the most important part of a person's character. It'll give them success and help them reach the highest potential that they can possibly reach. Self-control will make us reach the highest potential that we can reach. And isn't that what the Lord wants for us? To reach our highest potential? Roger, the Lord had a word for you here this morning at the altar. And I believe what he was doing is stretching you. And not just you, but this morning he spoke to you to come to the highest potential of what he has given you. And I think that word could be for everyone in here this morning, that the Lord wants us to reach the highest potential possible in our lives. And we can do it through the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Plato said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And you'll see where this quote comes in here as we begin to talk about this subject of self-control. We need to examine ourselves. Proverbs 25:28 says this, if you live without restraint, you are unable to control your temper. If you live without restraint, you're unable to control your temper. You're as helpless as a city with broken down defenses open to attack. If we don't control ourselves. Now, all of us that raised our hand that said at one time or another we were out of control, that's not a very good feeling, is it, when you get out of control? Generally, or I probably could say always, nothing positive comes out of that. It's always negative. When we lose control, negative things begin to happen to us. And that's what he said there in Proverbs 28. You're as helpless as a city with broken down defenses open to attack. And we have an enemy of our souls, don't we? You know who he is. He's Satan. He's running around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And think about it. When you lose control, he is right there to put fuel on the fire. That's what happens, and you're like a city with broken down walls. There's no protection there. You've lost it. And nothing good comes of that when that happens. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. Now we talk, and it's been mentioned throughout this series, we talk about how we are not only human, and it's very, very important to understand that you're not only human. If we were only human, then it's natural and normal for us occasionally to lose self-control. But we're not just human, are we? We have a divine nature, according to Peter. 1 Peter, he says that we have a divine nature, and that is the Spirit of the Lord that lives on inside of us. So let's go to Galatians 5:16 and talk about the Spirit that God gave us and the Spirit we were born with. It's important for us to understand these two natures if we're ever going to get to the place to where we are going to have self-control. So in verse 16 it says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, I just underlined the word living there, and it's important for us to understand that. Living means that's what you're pursuing. That's what you're doing on a regular basis. That's your lifestyle. Because he goes on and says, in 1 Corinthians 6:11, some of you were once like that. How many of you can say a big amen? You know, we used to be like that, weren't we? But you were cleansed. You were made holy. I love that. I love that. We were made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were made holy and we were made right. We were once like that. We pursued our sinful nature. We just did whatever came naturally to us. And we just thought that that's what life was all about. And we participated in all of these sins that he's talking about here. That is our old nature. That's the way that we were born. We were born into sin, the scripture says. So it was natural for us to do these things. But the Holy Spirit, verse 22, says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It's a whole lot different than the fruit that the sinful nature produces. The Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what our new nature produces. It's important to understand where it comes from. It's not something that we worked up on our own. The Holy Spirit produces this fruit in us. So verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. When you come to the cross, when we totally surrender ourselves to God, when we give ourselves to the Lord, We nail the passions of our sinful nature to his cross. Since we are living by the Spirit, verse 25, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We need to be led by the Spirit now. But first, before we go into talking about the Spirit, I want to talk about our sinful nature, because I don't think all of us fully understand really what happens just by nature, just because we were born, and we were born in sin. All of us understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Until you understand that you're a sinner, you will never be able to experience salvation. We need to know that we need God. So verse 19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Let's look at Romans 7:18. Romans 7:18, and Kim quoted this a couple of weeks ago. I thought, man, you're just stealing my message here. But this is a good verse. It works for a lot of the fruit here. But in Romans 7:18, it says this, and I know that nothing good lives in me. I've always liked that verse, because once I realized that there was nothing good in me, I realized how bad I needed God. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am really not the one doing wrong. It is sin that is in me that does it. Sin is living in my subconscious, meaning I don't even have to think about it. It just comes out on its own. When I would want to do good, and for some reason, something pops out of me and I'm doing bad. How did that happen? I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do what was good and right, but something came out of me, and the scripture tells us it was our sin nature that comes out of us. I know the devil, all he has to do is just poke us in the right spot, get the right person in our face, or get the right circumstance around us, and he controls us because we have a sin nature. We respond and react according to the way that we are, and we have that sin nature. So he said, sin is living in my subconscious, meaning I don't even have to think about it. It just comes out on its own. I can remember when I got saved, and I was a young man. I was only 20 years old, almost 21, and I'm at work. And when God saved me, he did a complete job. Dave, I totally surrendered when I got saved. And so you know what that's all about. And he did a complete job on me. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I run an artist which cut battery cables at Prestolite, and it had a great big huge spool. It was about 6-7 times larger than this spool right here. And I had my time card on that table there, or that reel of lugs, and I'm filling it out. And one of the guys came up to me and he saw what I was putting on my card, and he said, what is that blankety blank? And immediately, not even thinking about it, I said, what blankety blank? And I said that same word that he said. But you know what? When I said that word, something was crushed on the inside of me. And I can still remember to this very day, I said, Lord, I don't want to talk like that anymore. I don't want those words coming out of me. I had a new nature living on the inside of me, and I didn't want to do what I used to do. I didn't realize I had the power, but I cried out to God, and I'll tell you, God is so, so wonderful. I used to always tell this story, and if dear Kenny was here, well, he's probably rolling over in his grave now, but I know he's with the Lord. But I used to say, I can count on one hand, since I've been a Christian 46 years ago when I come to know the Lord, I can count on one hand the times I have said a curse word. I don't say them no more. But God knows my heart, and I have the power of the Holy Spirit within me. But My old nature still wanted to have control. If I would have just said, well, you know, everybody says it now and then, you know, and if I would have excused my conversation, then I would never have the power over it. The sin nature would still have its power. So, and then sometimes we, did you ever hear this? When somebody gets mad and they do this or they do that, and they say, well, I can't help it. That's just the way I am. My daddy was like that, and my granddaddy was like that, and it's just me. I can't help it. Now, that is a flat-out lie from the devil. I don't care what your daddy was like. I don't care what your granddaddy was like. I don't care who had influence in your life, in the world. Once we come to know the Lord, we have power through the Holy Spirit for our lives to change. So, our sinful nature now, the subconscious. Your subconscious mind is like a huge memory bank. This is really neat here. Really like this part. Its capacity is virtually unlimited. It permanently stores everything that happens to you. How does it happen? It happens in your brain, which has over 100 billion, 100 billion neurons collecting information and storing it. Neurons are nerve cells that transmit nerve signals to and from the brain at up to 200 miles per hour. Isn't that amazing? I mean, how can you not believe in God? You think that just happened and we come from a tadpole to a frog to a monkey? And then all of a sudden, you know, this amazing brain that we have has over 200 billion neurons, which are nerve cells sending signals to this body and telling it what to do. By the time you reach the age of 21, you've already permanently stored more than 100 times the contents of the entire Encyclopedia Britannica. We're talking about everybody here that's sitting here. You've stored more than 100 times what the Encyclopedia Britannica has in it. I told that to my grandson. He said, what's an Encyclopedia Britannica? So some of you youngins may not know what that is, but the rest of us do. Okay, so the function of your subconscious mind, listen to this now. The function of your subconscious mind is to store and to retrieve data. I'm talking naturally here now. I'm talking about sin nature here now. I'm just talking about normal human beings that don't know God. This is what's happening because God created all of us, doesn't he? Hasn't he? And so this is the process that takes place. Its job, the function of your subconscious mind, is to store and retrieve data. This is really, really good. Its job is to ensure that you respond exactly the way you were programmed. Just the way my daddy did it, just the way my granddaddy did it. I do it the way my mama did it and grandma did it that way. And we are programmed through the subconscious mind to do it exactly the same way. But it's really neat what happens to this old man here, because it goes on, it says, your subconscious mind makes everything you say and do fit a pattern consistent with your self-concept. What I believe is how I behave. I have been programmed to act based upon the information that I've been fed. So who's ever had any kind of influence in my life, my subconscious mind, those 2 billion neurons that are at work up there storing information, is controlling my life now. That's what I believe. And so it says another thing, that it never wants to change. It's uncomfortable. The subconscious mind is uncomfortable when you want to change something. And isn't that so true with all of us? None of us want to change. But we know how important change is. We have to change if we're going to continue to progress. So, through the Holy Spirit, we are provided with a divine presence. Now, we need to understand this, because even if you realize that You have a sinful nature and you have habits, and you try to break those habits through all the willpower you have. You know, you might improve in a certain area, and then in another area you're getting worse in, you know. That's what happens. That's human nature, you know. But the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, we are provided with the divine presence and power adequate for redeeming and controlling the subconscious. We must realize that without His power, we will not overcome sin in our lives. Without His power, we cannot just get better on our own. We will not overcome. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot free ourselves. Our sin nature holds us captive. The law could not free us. People thought that, you know, Lord, you just give us the law so we know what to do, and then everything will be fine and dandy. We'll just do what you say. Well, that didn't work, did it? You know what the problem was? You were the problem. Sin. The flesh was the problem. The flesh couldn't do it. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4 says this: For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live, there's that word live again, live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So how are we living? How are you living today? Are you living according to your flesh, or are you living according to the Spirit? There's three levels of life that we can live on. Instinct, duty, and grace. We need to understand all three of these levels here. Instinct is where most people live, obeying their driving impulses and instincts without question or inhibition. In other words, if it feels good, we do it. There's an old country song that describes living by instinct. How can it be so wrong when it feels so right? And there you are, just out there living by instincts. I mean, I know a good part of the world today is living by instincts. The world that we're living in today is a fleshly world. I think you all can say an amen to that. And so we just live by our instincts. Feels good, do it. Don't tell me that I can't do that. I mean, if you don't like it, fine, but don't bother me. As far as I'm concerned, I'm fine. You live by instincts, whatever you feel. The second level is duty. This catches a lot of us. Then comes religion with its thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. This is the introduction of duty. This level of life is filled with clenched fists, knit brows, and set jaws. People who are struggling to be good. Having a problem with that? Struggling to be good? Maybe it's because you are the one trying to do it, and you're not letting God do what He's already done. In other words, we talk a lot about being around here and not doing. And we can be because Jesus has paid the price for us. We do not have to perform for the Lord. He doesn't want you to perform for Him. All He wants you to do is believe on Him and love Him. One time the disciple says, well, how can we do the works of the Father? What can we do? And Jesus said, just believe on Me. That was the answer He gave him. Just believe on Me. If we believe Him and we understand what He has done for us, He has taken us from sin. He's washed all of our sins away. He has justified us just as if we had never sinned. He has redeemed us. He's bought us back. He has purchased us with His precious blood. We are now His children. We do not have to perform and do certain things so that we be approved of him. He loves us. He never stops thinking about us. He's thinking about you right now. And he wants to bless you. He wants you to grab a hold of the power that he has given you. And he has given you the power of his Spirit. And so, through the power of the Spirit, we can break free from this religious life. Religion is full of pain and strain. These are people who sigh and look for heaven as a release from their tense struggles. For them, life more abundantly must wait for death in heaven. They are still living under the law, even though they are born again. They're still trying to do the work on their own, even though God has put his Spirit in them. He talked about that earlier in the chapter in Galatians chapter 3. They were trying to produce again. They were trying to do the work instead of knowing that the Lord had already done it. But the last level of life, I want you all to hear this now, because this is where we all want to be. The last level of life is grace. Here is a place where you surrender your all. I surrender all. Lord, I'm going to follow you. I love you. I give you myself. I surrender all. All you know about yourself. Here's a place where nothing is hid. You tell the Lord openly all you know about yourself and all you're capable of doing. Then the Spirit is able to apply grace at the place where it counts, at the depths of the subconscious. You will no longer react like you used to. It's not automatic like it used to be, because now you have the power of the Spirit within. I no longer have to get mad about this or mad about that or upset about this, because the Spirit of the Lord and his grace has given me power to let the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, whatever the other ones are. But he's given us all that. I kind of got a kick out of Danielle. She got them all memorized. But the Lord does that for us. That's what the Spirit does. Don't you want to be loving, kind, patient, caring, self-controlled? Isn't that the kind of people that we want to be? Well, that's the kind of people that God has made us to be. Then grace is redemptive, taking over the instincts and cleansing away all the wrong bents and intents, directing and driving impulses towards new ends with a new power within. That power is within us. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, if you've totally surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ, then you have the power of the Spirit of God within you, and you are able to experience every single fruit here that God has listed. This is the type of people that we want to be here at the river. And you know, when you're that type of a people, you're a powerful power in the Spirit of the Lord. And we will be able to accomplish everything that the Lord desires in our lives. And I believe that most of us here today are Christians, and we want that. We want God to accomplish everything he desires in our lives. Don't you want to be pleasing to the Lord? Then when we run into situations, when we're on airplanes like you were, Bill, and the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us, and we gently move and we touch somebody. I love that testimony. Because I'll tell you what, when I was in a workplace, I loved touching people. Loved it. I, would just touch them with the love of Jesus Christ. There's love in me because Jesus is in me. And if I can just touch somebody, I'm touching them with the love of the Lord. Many, many times, the Lord allows you to be able to minister into people's lives, and that's what we want. We want to look for those open doors. Let the Spirit of the Lord do what He desires. Okay, I'm going to finish with this. Galatians 5:24. It says, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. I want you to think about that. Have you done that this morning? Have you nailed passions, your sinful life, to the cross of Jesus Christ? And he goes on, he says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It is only by the power of God's Spirit that we are able to live and produce the fruit of the Spirit.